Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Brady wakes up on Days of Our Lives, Nathan finds out about Man Landers on General Hospital, Quinn and Ridge have a close encounter on The Bold and the Beautiful, and the Abbotts gather for dinner on The Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Mike, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
Jillian, welcome.
What up?
And Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
This is going to be one of those days. Jamie, I want to go to you first. How much did you enjoy the Abbott dinner on The Young and the Restless?
I thought it was a good dinner. It was, you know, I love seeing Dina back on that set. I loved all of the historical notes and the mention of Mamie, and it was fun. It was what we want from soaps in terms of, you know, remembering and paying homage to the history. I'm really more intrigued of the fact that Dina has some sort of mystery situation going on with her
Silver Fox,
her Grecian formulaed fellow, and that Ashley is on the case. But yes, it was a nice, I love anytime we get to have any dinners at the Abbott family mansion, and Tracy being home is always just the best. I just really wish they would put Beth Maitland on contract. I mean, even it's weird because Tracy is the youngest of the OG Abbott siblings, but she's pretty much the matriarch now, or if not the matriarch,
she's the heart and soul.
Ashley is definitely the matriarch, but she definitely, she's
a motherly type. Even though she's the baby, she still acts like a motherly figure to them.
Yeah, she's the one that, she's the Mo Bauer, she's the, the Ada Hobson, she's the glue, and I really wish that they would realize that and just keep her on contract, or recurring, whatever it needs to be. I'm not the accountant, but she could be on recurring and just live at the Abbott home and be there to offer. It goes such a long way.
Jillian, I thought it was interesting that, considering Ashley's the one who has the most difficulty dealing with her mother, that she's now the one that, as Jamie put it, is on the case. What did you think of that?
I like that. Even though Ashley, she is swearing Christ off the cross, as my people would say. She is swearing Christ off the cross. I don't have nothing for her. I'm paying her dust. She realizes something ain't right with Big Mama. Something ain't right with her. Something ain't right. And I love it. I love that Ashley knows that Graham ain't shit. We don't know what's up with Graham. I mean, we did see, Graham acting the fool with her. But, Ashley knows something is not right with my mother, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it. So it's cool.
I even enjoyed Abby going and confessing to Victor about what she did and having her scenes with Jax. So the Abbott stuff was all really good, and then that was juxtaposed with Chloe overdosing, which in the back of my mind, I'm like, did she really overdose? But it looks like it. What did you think of the Abbotts, and what did you think of... And what did you think of the Chloe storyline?
How long have you been watching soap operas? Did she really overdose? I'm not sure, but I'm wondering.
Well, listen, I take it week by week. I don't read spoilers, and so most of the time, so I'm just but if there was no body, I'd be like, oh yeah, she's not dead. But she laid
Stevie
there for how long?
Stevie Wonder could see she's not dead.
At the same time, it's like, well, maybe the Victor had the doctor give her sleeping pills, so it made it look like she was dead.
Juliet.
Now you've watched the soap opera.
Juliet in Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet.
But, Mike, what did you think of the Abbotts and Chloe's storyline?
I like the Abbotts because you get a little bit more of a glimpse. I wasn't watching when Dina was on the first time, so... When Ashley considers her a master manipulator, you can kind of sit back and watch and see, and you can't tell if she's being shifty or not. But each of the Abbotts at their age have different experiences with their mother, and that also came into play. Jack remembers his mother being around and then leaving. Ashley has bad memories of her mother, and Tracy has very little memory of her mother. So all of that gives you completely three different points of view. I like that Ashley is the one that is going to figure out what's going on with Graham, but I think that it would be, if Tracy, Beth Maitland was around, I think it would be Tracy, because she's the one that figured out that something wasn't right with her mother, and then told Ashley about it.
She and Ashley have the biggest storyline stake, too, because of the fact that Ashley's not biologically John's daughter, and that set off so much story for Ashley. I mean, it's why she had her first mental breakdown. It's what led to her affair with Victor.
Mm-hmm.
It pretty much set, in my opinion, that show on the course for going to number one, because, you know, they went to number one in 1987 and tied with GH, and then they were, by 88, they were there by themselves. And that was, if you look at the time frame, that whole Ashley, Nikki, Victor love triangle was playing out big time.
Nikki should want to whoop the shit out of Dina then. Nikki should be like, you fucking bitch.
Now, it was a couple of years into it, but, you know, because by that point in the triangle, the Dina stuff had already been resolved, and it had moved on to Ashley and her abortion and Nikki pretending to be sick to keep them apart. Well, she was sick at first, but then she lied to keep Victor from leaving her. Husband, my Ashley could have had her man.
No, that was sick.
Jillian, most listeners will know that I'm not a big fan of sanctimonious characters like Nick Newman, Sonny Corinthos, Tad Martin, but I always, for some reason, I never ever lump Nick with the Tads and the Sonnies in terms of me just loathing them. What did you think of him and Chelsea's quest to catch Chloe?
Well, you know, I mean, you did just lump him in there. I think Jamie said it last week, or maybe we talked about it offline. Nick is not trying to catch Chloe. Nick is trying to see how much Chloe is going to snitch, because if she snitches, the House of Newman falls. I don't think Nick is kind of being sanctimonious, because Nick ain't drive. No, Nick never tried to hire someone to kill his rival. So this Nick has always been like this with Victor. I mean, Nick is the one who turned Victor into the feds for shelving fixing when it was, what was it, Tuvia versus, what was the other one named, Jamie? Never mind, I forget.
Oh gosh, I forget. But the black that was the black hair care product, Tuvia,
So
the one that burned Drew's hair out. Ooh.
Yeah. So yeah, I took it way back. So Nick has been that person. Nick, you know, turned Victor into the feds because of the shelving fixing that he was doing, that Victor was doing. So this has always been in Nick's wheelhouse. So,
and Jamie, that's the thing for me that, as I was watching this last week, I thought was a little bit interesting. Why is it that this secret is the one that will bring down the Newmans as opposed to all the other terrible things that Victor has done? For me, that felt a little bit off.
It's a continuing soap opera. And so just like with J.R. Ewing, every season Bobby would come in there and go, damn it, J.R., I'm done with you. What's going on, Bob? Leave me alone, Bob. And Bob would beat the shit out of him and throw him in the pool. Or Ray Krebs would, or Clayton would. It's the answer to that question of why is because Victor is still the big bad, and he's still doing big bad stuff.
Well,
and so
okay,
the sanctimonious Bobby Ewings and the Nick Newmans of the show have to get mad and talk like this, and then they have to go after Dad. And,
I also feel as though what you're trying to say would, what also the simplest thing for Luke also is, I feel as though why it's a big deal is because Victor has done so many bad things in the past. You hiring someone to frame your son for murder, and then because of your plan, that causes your son, your own flesh, to die. I mean,
this is the worst of the things.
Yes.
I mean, and you know, I'll give you this, though, Luke, and I see your point. He's done so much since Maria was the one who had him bring Patty to town with a new face to go after Jack. And since that point, Victor went from being a dashing, I mean, of course, yes, he, you know, Maria's big thing was, well, he fed the guy rats. That's what she used to justify you know, taking him back to his cartoonish villainy roots. Whereas Bill Bell, yes, he's the one who had Victor feed the guy rats, but then he morphed him into a more, you know, just a, you know, regular corporate raider. I mean, he was a nastier version of Warren Buffett, who just acquired companies and bedded women. He, for 20 years, that's who he was. And then Maria took him back to his more sinister
Victor Kiriakis type roots.
No, I would say even Stefano-ish roots, with the bringing Patty to town with a different face. And then, you know, since Patty, Victor has now, you know, the story, and what I would love for someone like Paul or someone to be able to say in the dialogue, because one thing I've noticed is Sally is writing it to where people do get to call Victor on his poop, which is great. Someone needs to point out that he's not much of a man anymore, because his weapon du jour is mentally unstable women. Patty, Katie McLean's character, Chloe. It's like he never shies on from using mentally unstable women as his Sharon, even. I mean, when he married Sharon and gave her the proxy, he knew she was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And, you know, he's just continued to prey on these mentally ill women to do his dirty work for him, and, you know, give or take a doppelganger that looks like Jack. But, I mean, it's pretty much been cuckoo women for the past, you know, 5 to 10 years. And, right, you know, so I'm in agreement with the Newman saying enough is enough. The fact that even though they are writing it, you know, you never see any remorse on Eric's face, which is, you know, it's just so maddening. I mean, he's never going to, you know, play it like, maybe I shouldn't be using mentally ill women to frame my son. You know, he's still going to play it like, I was justified. And so it just, it really does become frustrating, because, you know, the fans want, it's, I don't know what they do with Victor now, other than kill him off, and I know they won't do that. I'd kill him off. I mean, and I know that's going to sound so crazy, but I just think that that's part of the reason these shows are...
Yeah, because you can't come back.
I mean, the shows are so stagnant right now, and I think a good game-changing, you know, death... I mean, think back to, you know, get your glasses ready, but when Paul Rauch and Harding... Pete LeMay made the decision to get rid of Steve and Alice on Another World. That was unheard of. They were the show's biggest couple. They were arguably the biggest couple in soaps at the time. And if you read 8 Years in Another World, they were like, we don't think she can act, and we think he's a jerk. So bada bing, bada boom, let's fire him. And that was just like, oh my God, you don't do that. And now I look at it and I'm like, you know, I know it'll never happen, but I'm just, you know, the death of Victor Newman could drive the real death. I'm talking about the real, you know, poke a needle in his eyeball in the casket.
You see the body?
Yeah. I mean, it could drive, because, you know, I know how Days of Our Lives can come back from that kind of stuff, because it's that type of soap, and it has been for much longer than YNR. YNR has only been, really since Maria, has it been that type of crazy return from the dead, doppelganger-y shit show of a soap that the rest of them have been for a long time. I mean, you know, let's just be real. I mean, GH days, they've been doing the doppelganging and everybody having a twin and every all the, you know, YNR had like, I mean, K had a doppelganger, and that was about it with Bill Bell. You know, he didn't play all of those doppelgangers and evil twins and returns from the dead. Now YNR, it's just par for the course. Every day on Twitter, I'm inundated. The biggest discussion on YNR is, when is Adam Newman coming back from the dead again? And that's just so that's so the opposite of everything Bill Bell created. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating. And, you know, it's become just as cartoonish and silly. And yet, you know, next week there's another We're Number One promo. And it's like, who cares? Who cares if you're number one of a dying genre? You're going to have to stop. There's going to have to be an all-day session where you guys get out the white, you know, dry erase board and come up with something else to market. Because no one gives a hot poop about you being number one but you anymore, so let it go and figure out how to actually market the soap opera. It's so silly to do that promo, too, next week. When in that promo, Esther and Chelsea are slapping high five. Hello, hello, hello. Esther's going to be grieving her daughter next week. Why are we showing a promo of her slapping? You wouldn't do that on Scandal if next week, if Fitz got shot through the head, they wouldn't do a Scandal, ooh, let's drink some wine promo. They would do Olivia grieving for the next week's promo.
Jillian?
The other thing with the promo I found personally is that if you're trying to attract people to watch the show, there was nothing about the promo that would make me want to watch.
No, and it's all old clips. It's old clips again.
And it's all stuff that's like, if you watch the show already, there's nothing exciting about it. And if you don't watch the show, there's still nothing exciting about it.
I'm like, I mean, do they want Chuck Pratt back? Because Lord have mercy, they've got that blowed up cabin again. You know, why are you just cutting that? I can do that on YouTube. That's not a promo for the next week. Woo-hoo, we're number one. Woo, let's slap high five, girl. That's not the show even. It's not that fun. That's the other thing. The show is so not that fun. So if I'm going, ooh, this show looks fun, and then I tune in, we're going to have a, yes, I would like to talk to you.
There was a lot of coffee house stuff.
About my benefit in the park, in K. Chancellor Park, Yanni. Have you finished arranging for that?
But the thing is that the drama. The thing about it is while we may not care about it being number one in a dying genre, one thing Sony does care about is Jason Thompson. Jillian, they put out a poll about Jason Thompson and whether they like the current people like the current Billy or not. And immediately I was like, ooh, the shade. And then I was like, oh, I'll bet you Jillian's all over this. I have to ask her about it on the podcast.
I really wasn't. Like, they did this, really?
Jamie, I'll let you explain it then.
I just don't know who's it. The inmates are running the
asylum. It's so bad.
Sony sent out a survey asking people if they like Jason Thompson as Billy or if they like Burgess as Billy. Basically, like, you know, what do you guys think about? And, you know, why they wouldn't do that in an actual focus group, which it could still leak online because people can talk, but at least there's a little bit of a buffer and there's plausible deniability and there's no screen cap proof of it. Yeah, Sony sent out a, do you think this recast was good? Thingy-bopper. And, you know,
it's been all over Twitter. And it's like, why would you compare him to Burgess? If you were going to compare him to someone, it would be Billy Miller.
Right.
I guess they're trying to be less obvious, but, you know, prior to Burgess, it was Little David Tom came back. And then, you know, there have been two Billies since that Billy. And, you know, I mean.
So is Billy Miller's contract coming up at General Hospital? Is that why this is being put out there?
All I know is that was some bad juju to let that actor, you know, that came out, what, Thursday? It came out Friday, I believe. So all I've been thinking about is how is it going to be for Jason Thompson on set Monday when the whole world knows that his employer has put out a, do you think we should get rid of this guy survey?
Go ahead.
That to me, I could see you doing that, like, in the beginning, but he's been there for a year, almost two. That is the most disrespectful thing you can do, and I don't know who the dumbass was at Sony or CBS that put it out.
No, it's Sony.
Sony. CBS should have said, wait a minute, y'all. Like,
maybe
come on
not,
now.
Though. Sony sometimes operates in a vacuum. Like, if you look at the days Twitter and the Sony Days Twitter. Yeah, so there's not a – I mean, we don't know that they did even consult CBS, so let's –
No, just... I meant the channels of Sony's hierarchy. It got through
yeah.
a lot of hockey goals to get
yeah.
put out to the universe. And the thing to me, when we're talking about the promo and the show and this survey, is that Twitter – was buzzing about the survey, not the show. You want people to talk about the show, not
that's yeah. Because like now I'm, because if I had known that, I would have been like, because in my mind, like what Luke just said, I'm like, is Jason's contract up? Is Billy's almost up? What are they? Are they trying to get Burgess back? You know, did Burgess want his job back? Does somebody at Sony want Burgess's job back? Like, why would you do that? You know, you want people to watch your show because of the content, not because of the fuckery going on. Like,
when the major conversation about Y&R is recasts and who should play who next and who should come back from the dead next, you realize that, you know, there's a problem. And the problem is Maria, when she was there, you know, I got to go back to the history to get to the present. If you don't learn from the past, you can't change it. Maria strongly, you know, intimated to her team that she was trying to make Billy versus Adam the next generation of Victor versus Jack. Yep. And she succeeded. I'll give her that. She definitely succeeded, and the regimes after her carried it on. But when they lost Billy Miller and they fired Michael Muni, that
thread wasn't continued.
Shot in the foot, and they really need to go back and look at what Bill Bell finally decided. When Bill, if you look at the history of the Young and the Restless, when the reason that the Abbotts and the Williams even exist is because Bill Bell got tired of having to recast select members of the Fosters and the Brooks families, the two origin families of the show. He basically said, enough, I'm not going to just keep recasting people. I'm going to phase out the Brooks, and I'm going to keep Jill Foster, phase out the other Fosters, and I'm going to bring on new families. Now, I'm not saying that I think Y&R should bring on new families, because there's so many cooks in that kitchen. I mean,
they wouldn't
at this
know what
point,
to do.
It would be Julie Chen's cousins are moving to town or something so that Julie Chen can visit a lot or something just as lame and pedestrian. So I don't want the, you know, that's not my saying. I think that they should. Plus, I mean, the new characters, I'm not impressed with Tessa or Juliet. So,
many tweets I've gotten about Tessa being poor since that podcast?
Like, yes, I saw that.
They just keep coming, and everybody keeps bringing it up. Apparently, that was a highlight, Jamie.
Well, thank you. But no, wait, no, I'm not finished with my point. Thank you for that. But no, my point is Bill Bell basically made a decision that he had to kind of create new roles to replace those old roles. And I think at some point they're going to have to look at that for the Billies and for the Adams and the Phyllises and all of these characters that they just have started to treat as a revolving recast door. Because, you know, if you're tuning in, so recasting is a known and storied tradition in soap opera, but when you have that many recasts trying to gel at the same time, a year isn't always enough time, especially when it's happened over and over again. Because then you get the audience into the habit of, well, if we complain enough or if we don't like this person enough, we can get them in and out in a year. And that's even more problematic. I mean, let's just be honest. Not a lot of Ashley fans were wowed by Brenda Epperson taking over for Eileen, but she played the part for 6 years. They, you know, it was 6 years before they went to that other lady. You know, they didn't just keep recasting her every year or every other year.
There's another thing. As a soap watcher, I'm all about the families and the generations and all that stuff. But it's okay to have an arc where somebody comes in where there's a beginning, a middle, and an end of a character. It's okay that maybe – Billy, who wasn't around all the time, comes on and he stays for a couple of years and goes.
Because there's Kyle and Kimo out there.
Peter Bergman. There is a Kimo.
Well, they could
out
do
there.
A Kyle. They could build Kyle versus Noah if they wanted.
Yeah, Peter Bergman is at patriarch age, despite the fact that for years they kept trying to put him with 30-year-old women. He is a patriarch. And so bringing on his sons and letting them war, and, you know, with Ashley and her daughter there, that's a possibility. I mean, you can create a new rivalry.
The Abbott boys versus the Newman boys. That would have been hot.
You know, or I would like it. No, I would like it to be the two Abbott sons, Jack's favorite
that
son,
too.
Against his forgotten Amerasian son. And then, you know, on the other side, they can finally do something with Noah. They can finally build Noah up instead of having him in those shitty bar T-shirts talking to this girl who doesn't look like she shaves her pits. And they can actually create viable characters with the younger characters instead of being so predicated on this. We got to find an Adam so that Chelsea can put Adam again.
And Chelsea's a good example of that. If Adam is gone, then her time has come and gone. It's okay. I'm not saying that I want her gone. I'm saying that she's a good example of that.
And she could be easily spun off to Bolt. I'm not wanting Missy to lose a job because I like Missy, but she's fashion designer on a show full of cosmetics people. And
she could go to B&B easy.
She could go to Bolt.
I would Red Rover her. Yeah.
Just like they did with Lauren, just like they did with Ashley for a couple of years. You know, it would make so much sense when she finds out that the Newmans all lied about Adam and all of that, and then Nick finds out that she lied about that baby not being his, that she'd be like, you know, I think I'm going to go to Los Angeles because the Foresters have bought Chelsea's 3.0 and they're just going to get rid of my stupid name and they're going to just hire me as one of their designers. And I really think that they're, you know, that one son, Rick, is kind of cute. You know,
yeah,
and
if she's anything like Heather Tom, she'll never come back. Mike, what did you think of Eric and Nicole sneaking into Brady's room, hospital room, and Brady waking up miraculously because of the baby on Days of Our Lives?
That,
it was. They actually had a real baby. They didn't have a doll.
Okay, so you
Chloe Cole baby is not only the Christmas miracle, but she Chloe Cole. She's the gift that keeps on giving. She's just the miraculous little baby who just it was. No, Nicole, I'm sorry. I love
Nicole.
I
wish Stefano would climb about the
Zoom. I put her on the mute.
That baby and take off running.
She goes on the mute. You know, that's old school soapy stuff, and is. Much as it doesn't work now. It doesn't.
I expected you to like it, considering the circumstances, but I'm surprised. Meanwhile, I've come to the conclusion that Nadia Bjorlund is just purely the most beautiful. No matter how bad Days looks, Nadia Bjorlund just radiates beauty.
She was quite pretty last week.
I'm looking at these fish green sets of Days of Our Lives and all these terrible sets, and then Nadia Bjorlund is literally just there, and she's like, has a halo around her whole body. It's just glowing.
Oh my God. I love that
Marlena told her to fix it, and then she just went to the police like, no, I'm gonna fix
Marlena is one of those characters.
Get out of there. When John Black was like, get out of here.
John Black was making up for time.
You're the reason my boy is dying. And Chloe was like, but I love him. He's my friend. Marlena said, bitch, did you not hear my man say, get up, girl? Don't make this dip come up out of me, Chloe.
John came back and had decided he didn't make up time for the lawn mowing he missed.
I can't wait for his gray hair to premiere because I've seen pictures of it. It looks really good.
Yeah, he looks really good with it. And it is making me go, okay, when are we going to get this Bruce Jenner pre Caitlyn hair off of my Draco?
You know what? Take a note, all you guys out there that are shoe polished in your hair. Let it go. It's okay.
My grandfather did it to the day he died. And we used to make
some people on that show use shoe polish.
Look, my grandmother got so bad, finally he let it go gray, because our bath towels would be streaked with that damn dark and lovely dye, and he'd be like, Daddy, let it go. And he, like, by this point, he had male pattern baldness, so there wasn't even that much hair to dye left. And, oh, Lord, yeah, let it go.
Jamie. Some people on that set got that hair, so I'm like, Mike,
Jamie, the curious, well, Sonny, Paul, Gabby, Chad, you know, the whole group, they landed on the island.
Jungle Madness.
They landed on the island, and I'm watching it. I'm like, did they all land in different spots? Because almost none of them share scenes together.
The only thing I would say is I laughed because, you know.
I call it Gilligan's Island.
The gay man got to get the Jungle Madness, huh? But uh-huh. Paul DeRita.
Yeah.
Last week I wasn't sure if Days was going there. I'm sure.
They did the mosquito bite.
Yes, oh, they highlighted that mosquito bite like a vampire bit him.
He is just attacking folks. He is running around attacking folks on that island, and I'm hollering. The original Jungle Madness was a mess. This Jungle Madness is a mess. It's just a more low-budget mess. And, you know, Jungle Madness was one of my least favorite Days stories to begin with, but I laughed then, and I laugh now.
That incubation period was like 5 seconds.
Well, and everybody else is thinking they have to kill him, and Sonny is like, y'all can't kill my man, but the other folks are like, we got to kill him before he
somebody already done killed one of my men's. You can't do it again.
I'm like, I don't want to go to no deserted island with any friends who suddenly decide I need to die because I get sick. I'm like, note to self, don't go anywhere with the sailor bites. I'm glad that they vanquished Deimos from Titan. They seem to be playing a little fast and loose because, you know, it seemed like I thought Titan had, I mean, he had full control of Titan, you know, that he had to give up, or maybe I missed a beat, but didn't Uncle Victor have to give him all of everything?
Victor told him that the board decided to rescind his Titan ship, and the Titan ship came with all the things that Deimos initially took away from him. So
that all up as it goes along. But okay, that's fine. It's setting up the who killed Deimos, and I'm here for that because as much as I love Vincent Irizarry, you know, for his career, my career advice to him would be, unless it's David Hayward, don't play another sinister villain in daytime, because he has been so pigeonholed since David Hayward that basically he has played David Hayward-like characters on Y&R and now Days. And, I mean, he's most famous for playing heroes on Guiding Light. I mean, yes,
I agree.
David Hayward is popular, blah, blah, blah. But had he been a hero on Days, Hope might have been able to get some nookie from somebody viable, or Jennifer Rose dusted off that dusty rose down yonder. Why he has to keep playing these sinister types.
He and Hope would have been hot. That would have been kind of interesting.
Or Judy Evans, hello, you know, Lou Jackson. They didn't even cross paths, you know, and it's like, got her over there with little boy Lucas, 20 years younger than Adrian, you know, but not 20, but, you know, that throws me, because I'm like, okay, Adrian and Justin's story was in the early 90s. Lucas and Sammy were high school kids. Well, now, Lucas was out of high school because he had gone to military school, but they were teens, you know, years after Justin and Adrian, which I know, you know, women can marry younger men. You know, my mama married to a younger man. But I just don't. Adrian, I wish I could, like, go into the H.G. Wells machine for the day that they said, let's put Lucas with Adrian. So I could have just reached out of the time machine and just slapped the shit out of somebody. That's stupid! And then shut the time machine going.
So you want to be Doctor Who. Okay. We're finally going to get Jamie to watch some sci-fi.
H.G. Wells, classic. Not Doctor Who.
Doctor Who is classic, dude. It's been around longer than I have.
Yeah, buddy.
It's classic as H.G. Wells. They don't make you Doctor Who in your curriculum in high schools.
What do you think of Manlanders on General Hospital?
This is what you give me. Manlanders, when I want to talk about, Sonny. But Manlanders, it's cute. That's all I can say.
They're like
amongst all the drama, this is a soap trick that I remember forever. There's one big, huge story exploding, And then they put the little cutesy thing in between and go to a commercial. And it's just like, it's...
Make them laugh, make them cry, make them...
Yeah.
GH is actually doing that.
They and I'm okay. I'm an okay that. With making Amy a little bit more humanized and not being that bitchy gossip. Because Amy was, I mean, if they're trying to mimic that character, the original Amy was like
that. I want Amy to bust her ass. I want Amy to bust her ass. Come on.
It's yes. So... The young set is finally gelling, hopefully in time for summer. You know, Christina's living with Amy, and, you know, Christina's working at Central Perk, and Nathan is hanging out with Amy, and Amy is throwing shade at Maxie for taking a job out of town. I do wonder what fashion magazine Maxie went to work for in Seattle, but then if there was one in Port Charles, New York, okay. But, you know, she's throwing shade at Maxie while she's gone, and then she's doing this little column. It's cute!
I do think that, you know, Nathan needs to address Maxie even if it's to a friend like Dante, or you know what I mean? He's just there, or maybe even Nina, because, you know, Nina and Nathan together are probably a highlight of those two characters when they're separate.
Well, she said she would give Maxie her job back.
Throw a woman under that man right now.
If he would, well, I think Amy's trying to get up under that.
Yeah, you don't think that's what Amy's trying to do?
If you really, all right, really yes. want it.
All right.
All now, Mike, since you want to talk about Sunny, and since last week we talked about Sunny and you weren't here, what are your thoughts on Sunny?
Okay, well, I think my thoughts on Sunny are pretty clear, but I made a comment in Perky's thread that this is what
him.
I think.
Say no, something about Sonny so I can come for you. Say something about
no,
my man.
No,
so I can
I'm
going
to be. This is my thought. If you're going to be a mob-based show and you want to do a mob war and all this other stuff, and you want Carly and Sonny to be the center of the show, they don't have to be the moral center of the show. There are plenty of shows that mimic or look at historical things with kings and queens. You want to put these two up on the throne, just know that there's going to be people trying to knock them off. Having a killer taunt someone that is a killer just doesn't make sense to me. There's a price to pay for the life that you lead. And I think one of the things I liked, I'm going to go back to a Stefano moment here, with when Johnny was kidnapped and EJ was frantic and he tried to blame it on Stefano, and Stefano said, look, this is the way we live. There are consequences, and sometimes it affects your child. And that is my thing with General Hospital. If this is how you want to do it, then you have to make it work that way. You can't have somebody like Michael and Dante come in and not be able to say, hey, you killed my father, or I have a bullet hole. You know, you just can't do it that way. And you can't have Sonny go to see Ava when she's almost dead within a day, and not have Monica be able to come to Sonny and talk about AJ. I'm okay with, I think, the concept of what they're trying to do. I just don't really like the execution of
it. You're right. It would be much better if they
– I need Sonny to have a little remorse over the fact that they walked away while –
Or they need to make him so he's not
Ava
the moral.
Was screaming. Okay,
or-
Ava – I
he
get
should
it.
Feel
They're
it himself. Yeah, he should at least. You're right. They should, especially Carly too, because Carly should really be having a moment where, because she keeps pointing out how sick Ava is for what she did to her bipolar son. She did the exact same thing to Monica's recovering alcoholic son, and so there should be in the dialogue.
There should be a moment where Monica.
Yeah, someone should be able. Yeah, someone should be able to point out to her, this is your chickens coming home to roost for what you did to AJ, because AJ was sober and had his life on track when you decided to, you know, dump him
like
in the gutter.
God with him.
You
yeah.
know,
but, like,
and,
but Sonny's a killer, and he's had people killed, or he's done it in a very quick way. But for the two of them to hear somebody screaming for help and not have any – I know that she was complicit in their kids.
Well, Carly
murder.
Did
want to
go
it.
Back for her. Carly
okay,
did want to go
yeah,
back for her.
Yeah, but they need to have that conversation, I think, where they have a little guilt over it. Because then they trot out Christina, who's never on, to sit there and go, oh yeah, that Carly or that Ava, she does need to die. She's a bitch.
If she
and then
did that to
away.
My son, I wouldn't have walked back in no fire for her. And I love Ava, but I think we
I
have
understand
to look,
that.
You know, you
I
have to
it.
Look past, yes, the writers should definitely have people who call Sonny and Carly on their mess, because that is agenda-driven, trying to make it like they haven't done anything. Ava did call them on some of their hypocrisy before everything, you know, went down. But there should be more. There definitely, I agree, there should be Monica and all that. But however, I disagree that Carly and Sonny would act any different in that place, because it does not matter. Hypocrisy is hypocrisy. We're all hypocrites in that place. And if you took out my son, it's not going to matter to me all of my sins at that moment. Yeah, I might have a quiet moment of revelation, but I'm going to want a pound of flesh from the person who took out my son. If you watch Game of Thrones, Cersei Lannister has done all manner of evil, despicable things to everyone on that show. But when someone takes out one of her children, she wants vengeance. It does not matter to her that she said that her family set it all in motion, because that is just human nature. Ava, you know, hurt their child, so they want to hurt her. Now, yeah, it would have been great in the dialogue when Ava called them on their hypocrisy if she brought up them killing, you know, Sonny killing AJ or Carly destroying AJ. That would make the show so much better. So many fans who get sick of Sonny would say, well, at least, and that's how it used to be. John Engel, you know, Edward used to be able to, and Tracy, you know, there were plenty of characters. Monica and Alan, they all used to be able to call
Edward
Sonny out.
Edward used to say it all the time when Sonny would come for board meetings.
Well,
he would
and
say,
even Michael
swindle.
Did it.
Let me finish. He would say, you swindled my slow grandson out of his out of his wife. So, but I'm sorry.
But they don't allow that anymore, because there is a real agenda to make them. Because, you know, they believe now at GH, to be the leads on the show, you have to be more the moral center. And, you know, Mike is right about that. There should always be. Monica, the day that they had Monica say to Carly and Sonny, hi, Sonny and Carly, I was done with them thinking, with me ever thinking they're going to care about history. Because I'm like, Monica should have been the one coming after them, because she should hate these people. I mean,
they made a mistake when they brought Michael back into the fold.
I agree.
They should have kept Michael as the quartermain, because he could have been, even if Monica's not on very often, Michael could have been that character who's bringing it up if they had not let him get past the fact that they offed his dad.
You have to understand that I'm not disputing what Sonny and Carly did this particular time. I'm just saying, in the bigger picture, they need, if this is how they want to play it, they have to make them a little somewhat sympathetic, so that you are always conflicted about rooting for somebody.
Nope,
not always wanting Sonny to suffer. That's all.
Nope, I'm sorry. I mean, she did, like, I would have, if it was a minute, I could see if they had a moment where Sonny is with Avery and she says, mama, and he's a little, oh shit, your mama's, you know, she crispy girl. That would have been cool with that. But I'm sorry. She set in motion his son dying. So I don't see anything with Sonny not giving a shit. And Sonny's a mobster. What mobster, you know, has a heart of gold? I mean, they did that with Jason, but no.
I think what Mike's getting at, though, isn't necessarily that. I think that what he's getting at is that this show is being written where Carly and Sonny are supposed to be the moral voice, apparently, as well as doing all the bad stuff. Everything that you're saying about, Jillian, about what Carly and Sonny are doing, those things can still happen, but they can't happen at the same time that these two are supposed to be the people
with
halos.
Well, now you say that, Luke, but I know you watch TGIT, and Olivia Pope is the moral
I have not watched Olivia Pope for several seasons, because I don't like what they've done there.
But that's a show where the moral center of the show, the woman who wears the white hat and who gives soliloquies about people wearing the white hat, you know, rigged a presidential election, murdered a vice president, and now has murdered two vice presidents.
Well,
so,
and it's also a show that has had a huge ratings decrease and has been in a final season.
Yes, but there are also shows There are also shows called Dexter and Ray Donovan and a whole myriad of serialized dramas that the people who watch all these same daytime soaps watch that are hugely popular, and their protagonists are anti-heroes that
Sopranos.
Do not subscribe to this same Erna Phillips era, the heroes must be good and the bad guys must be bad type of stuff that we tend to tie daytime up with, that these characters must, if they are the good, they must do this and that and that, this and the other. It's like, maybe that's part of the problem why daytime is dying, because there's so much of this trying to get our morality from daytime. Why do we feel we need to get our morality from daytime, but we can watch these primetime shows? Luke, you more than anyone on this podcast watch almost everything on primetime, and I know for a fact those shows do not always present the protagonists as good and noble and true all the time. So why on earth does it bother everyone so much that Sonny is not good and noble and true, but he's the protagonist of the show? I don't get that, because we no longer, it's not, there's no longer,
there are very, for the record, there are very few shows that I watch that have Sonny type characters.
Okay.
Jillian?
Luke likes you to tit for tat, boy.
I don't know what to tell you, but what I will tell you is that your complaints are not at Gene and Shelley. They're probably not even at Frank or Nathan. They're probably at Vicky Dunn.
I have not made it. I have not made any comments on this podcast. I was just trying to clarify what Mike was saying.
All together, it's like for 10 years, that's been a huge issue for you and for others on the about the Sonny thing. There have been 14 regimes since then. So obviously the people, Mickey Mouse, Pluto, Chip and Dale, they are the ones who have decided that Sonny is the star of the show.
I know,
that's okay.
And I just said that that
is,
was okay if they're doing it. They just don't need to make him the moral. And I was agreeing with Mike.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, you did lay that at Gene and Shelley's feet.
Well, no, but that's because Frank has said that he's the star of the show and got them their Emmys, and because of their writing. I mean, that's stuff that they're doing. But we're getting off track. We're going to go to
have told him that. Frank didn't just decide they're the stars of the show. That was decided by Brian Franz, and it got inherited by these people. And yeah, they brought Frank and Ron in and told them to go away from it. But the moment the ratings dropped, and we all know that that was more related to Fluke and all that kind of stuff. But the moment the ratings dropped, it allowed that seed of doubt. Well, maybe we need to make it the Sonny and Carly show again. And so, you know, like a weed, it grew back up. And, you know, I don't know who is going to
He doesn't have to be that mobster with a heart of gold. That's not what I'm talking about.
No.
I want to be able to like Sonny and Carly, right? Everybody knows what Ava did, but they still feel that they're rooting for Ava. And you shouldn't be rooting for Ava right now. In this case, you should be rooting for Sonny and Carly. But there needs to be a balance that affects all the characters. And if you're going to put them at the middle, you have to understand that there are going to be people that are going to try to cut them down.
See, I see it as a show full of protagonists that are morally bankrupt. I mean,
they all are.
Julian is morally bankrupt. Alexis is morally bankrupt at this point because of her association
Valentine
with Julian. You know, but I will say this again about GH, and this is what they, to me, won sweeps. I don't know what the ratings will show, but they gave me a sweep story that ended with the best actress in daytime throwing a lamp at one of the other best actresses in daytime, knocking her ass to the ground and setting a blaze of glory. She ends up burned to a crisp. The other story climaxes. I know y'all didn't like it, but I loved it. I cannot believe Luke didn't like Helena sitting there throwing
shade. I never said I didn't like her. You said that about that.
Sidebar, Lulu's got to be the dumbest character on that show.
She's been dumb for years.
Laura is my mama. I want Laura to be my mama. Laura said, y'all chillers, come on. That little crazy boy, Liz and Jason, finna kill everybody. Come on, chillers. And Laura got their asses on out of there. But
Lulu
the couple
is
with
so
that little
dumb.
Boy pulled that thing out of there. Yeah, Helena
that
showed
Coke
up.
45 can. Liz, get out of here.
Liz was like, don't listen to the witch. Listen to me. And look, Spectral Helena said, she's calling me a witch. I'm like, dang, Helena in the grave, and she still got the shame.
Jillian, we only have a few minutes left. What did you think of The Bold and the Beautiful this last week with Ridge, Quinn, and Eric?
I mean, it needs to, you either need to have it climax or just end it, because I'm so sick and tired of them. It was a kiss. It was a pet. Every kiss becomes a sale at Zales or something. I'm so over it.
Well, they got like, further than kiss, and he was at least fingering her on that bitch.
No. I don't want that in my mind. No.
He was doing some heavy petting this week.
Shut up, Jamie. Shut up. No. They need something to happen. This dancing around it is just ridiculous. And next week, they have Katie going psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Why does she care? Why?
I don't understand. I get why she cares now. They illustrated it this week, because when she was raging and acting crazy about Quinn, she said something about how she knows what it's like for the wrong people to get. And she was talking.
There's
about
all kinds of cheating, and intimacy is just as bad as cheating.
So
she was talking about, she's channeling her crap on Brooke and Bill, on Quinn and Ridge. And I'll say this, because you know I've been harping on that show for a minute. It seemed much more well drawn this week, that it's like, okay, she's, for some reason, she feels like I can't scream and rage and want to kill Brooke anymore. So I'm just going to transfer this on to. Now, the other thing, though, that's another show where they don't write to the history in terms of how care, because Katie should not be allowed to be the moral center of any show ever, because she did the same thing to her niece. She did the same thing to Bridget. So when she's sitting there preaching about people shouldn't cheat, I'm like, you did. Bridget let you stay in her crib with her man, and you hunched her man, you bet you. You hunched her man. You hunched
all
of her man.
Can we do it, big sis Brooke did?
You know, but yeah, Brooke, look, we know Brooke will do that, though, but Brooke don't sit around going, there's a right and a wrong, and cheating is wrong. Brooke is like, I can't help myself. My vagina just wanted what it wanted. That's what Brooke says. You know, she don't sit there and try to act like she's the moral majority and then, you know, forget that she hunched her niece's man.
And that's why Brooke works. Brooke works.
Yeah, Brooke, you know, and Brooke, my Brooke didn't even cry about it back in the day. My Brooke would tell you, it's not my fault that you can't satisfy your man, Stephanie. That's what my Brooke used to tell them hoes. She used to tell them, maybe if you'd arch your back and wiggle.
I don't know. She's transferring. Instead of, why aren't you mad at the people that burned you? Like, that's so, like. Ugh.
That's because they're not there.
Know.
They're not around.
She and Rena Sofer had a good little, I like their little, you know, and I like that they're making it part of the jewelry storyline that Katie, because, you know, we were mad about her being a jewelry designer. It's like, well, how did she learn how? She hasn't learned how. She's no good at it. And Quinn is looking at these, you know, ham scram drawings, which, my Lord, Bold and the Beautiful. Y'all listening? Bold and the Beautiful. Please get them people some iPads. Get them people some iPads. Why are they running around with the damn sketch pad you can buy at the Kroger and some colored papers and the pens and shit? Get those people some iPads. People don't design with scratch paper anymore. Stop it. Brad is in the way back machine. Go to a fashion school and see what they are doing. Katie, come on.
Right there. I told you.
Should have just balled up that sheet of paper and hit her in the face with it. Just like, why is she in there with these? You don't like my sketches, don't you see that the earring and the bracelet go together? I mean, this is where they could throw back in Katie's history. You know, Katie was a tomboy before she married Bill. You know, she don't know nothing about no earrings. Get out of here, Katie. Don't nobody want to see your earrings in the shape of a mitt and some gloves. Get out of here.
Mike?
Yeah.
Before the podcast, you were saying that you had a moment stand out for you. What was that moment on B&B?
I think last week the moment that I liked was when Ivy was talking to Katie, and Katie was talking about the different kinds of cheating and and how she felt that she was keeping something from somebody who meant a lot to her. And then that made Ivy think about that she's actually lying to her father or her uncle if things
Ivy's point of view.
Mm-hmm. No, but Ivy's point of view was that there's nothing happening anymore, so why bother to bring it up? And Katie was saying,
Ivy ain't shit.
Okay. So anyway, that's what I liked about that was like the moment that I realized that Katie is just transferring stuff that she's been keeping onto Quinn. That's the moment that worked for me. And I actually would like Ivy to be a little bit more proactive to protect her uncle. Like to say to Katie, you are not going to mess with my uncle's life. It's over. It's done. Leave it alone. But I don't know if that'll come to that. But
Eric is such an old pig. He's just getting back what he gave Stephanie. I'm so glad Thomas is over there at Spectra with his lady love. I love me some them and their little cute romance. And he even got it to where she'll be friends again with that little mealy mouth Emily Wilkes. Not Emily Wilkes, Melanie Wilkes, girl, and you know, she can go on back to dating Michael J. Fox circa Family Ties era. You know, that's the most blah little boy I've ever. Where did they find him? He just looks like he would try to do your taxes.
Jamie, short final thought, Jamie.
You invite him over for a kegger. Hey, let's go look at your tax codes.
Jamie, final thought, a brief one.
My final thought is I'm glad that the black folks are back in play on Bold since we on Bold. I just, you know, giving this girl baby rabies and making her try to snatch by his baby, I don't know.
No.
Jillian, final thought?
My final thought is Victor, buck up. You did cause your child to die. Like, have some humility. Like, Kendrick Lamar has a song, Be Humble.
I found you on a pool.
Victor, that ain't even true. I'm looking at them old clips. I'm like, she did a shitty ass burlesque number. Ain't no pool.
I
would have
been so frustrated if I went to that club.
Mike, final thought.
I guess since we're talking about B&B, like one of my biggest complaints about them was that they only had one storyline every day, but it seems like now they have two or three different things and they're not all talking about the same thing. So I feel like that's a little bit of improvement, and yay to Thank Cassie God. The Piva coming back to Days,
which was going to be my final thought. We're so happy that she is back at day returning to Days and that her health is, mm-hmm. She's in good health. So we would
way to go, girl. Cause wrong and white the fuck out of you. Chow.
Oh, he's done it before. We'd encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. Write us a review on iTunes. You can find Jamie on Twitter at Jamie_Giddens. Jillian is at Jillian Bow. Mike is at MPJ. What's the last two
24.
Digits?
24.
And I am at Luke_Kerr. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Everybody, get out of that Colt 45. Get out of here.